Hello everybody, welcome to the NRF1 podcast, E250, 250. We are quarter of a millennium old in episode terms. So, little celebration I think we'll have tonight. We'll have to have a beer. Anyway, you join us at the Rush Cutters pub, so it's a good job we are needing a few beers, maybe just one. It is a work day. Anyway, we are here to review the Hungary Grand Prix, another race that left us all hungry for more. You're joining me, Rich, and Michael isn't here with us tonight, but he is going to be back soon. He's busy with lots of work things. So just check out his Twitter and everything else. And I'm sure you'll understand and appreciate everything that he's been going through. But it's busy times, but also exciting. But joining me, we have 2 times Beccles karting champion and our Haas insider, sort of. It's Kyle Cumbers.
Hello, that's a new one. A little addition to my,
yeah,
whatever you call that bit, introduction.
I did add to it. I thought that would only be suitable to add to it after calling Callum the blonde bomber after he bleached his hair in the last episode.
Sort of Nico Rosberg, is he the...
I should have called him Nico Rosberg, yeah.
Nico Rosberg of the podcast now.
That's Nico Rosberg-esque.
Is that an insult?
He's a world champion. Do we take that as an insult?
He'd take Lewis Hamilton as more of an insult.
It would do, actually, yeah. That's a good point, yeah.
Also joining us tonight, we have Stuart, as in Jackie, Muller. I haven't added anything to that one, I'm sorry.
That's absolutely fine. Good evening, everyone, and good evening, Rich.
Good evening. How are you? Both good?
Yeah, all good.
Yeah. Can't be bad after a run of Formula 1 races we've had. Can't complain. So.
Is that four in a row which have been good now?
Yeah, four. Classics.
Easily.
Yeah.
Easily classics.
Fair enough, yeah. If you had, for a whole season, if you had 4 races like that, you'd be pretty happy in the season.
Absolutely.
Definitely. And it was, of course, the Hungary Grand Prix, the race which basically marks the midpoint of the season as we're now going into the summer break anyway. And what did you make of it overall? What would you, what really stood out for you, let's say?
I was thinking about this earlier, sort of. When the Hungarian Grand Prix comes around, you kind of think, okay, because the track doesn't scream at you saying, oh, it's a classic track or whatever, but it does seem to produce quite a lot of good Grand Prix. I think, as a fan of British motorsport, slightly biased, because British drivers always seem to do quite well there, and always, remember Mansell won his championship there. Did Damon Hill win his first race there?
Possibly. A lot of drivers won their first race. Button won his first race there.
Yeah. Hill had the Arrows race.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, 97. Don't remind me.
And obviously, Hamilton's now 7 wins he's got. But it's always a good race. And this one was, another good one.
Seems to have developed. People are taking more chances and overtaking where you wouldn't have expected it in the past. Mm. They're finding new lines. They're finding more grip. Which, it's been paid off, it was a great race.
Because corner, I call it, say, corner two or maybe three, because, the way they number corners, but the sort of the outside of the corner overtake seems to be the last few years, and that just seems to be quite a common overtake now.
The round the outside manoeuvre and keeping the inside, that must be a grippy circuit, because there's a lot of drivers who do that. They seem to carry a lot of speed around the outside there, and somehow get through still, which isn't seen in a lot of places. Usually you go to the outside and you're losing grip and falling off. Yeah. But I mean, there's something about that corner especially, isn't there?
Yeah. It doesn't seem to have happened. Seems quite a recent thing. So I don't know if it's DRS. I don't know, because they've got that little DRS bit after turn one or not. But
is it the case that there's not as many marbles now? So that,
maybe,
because, the racing line, you're not getting so much around.
Yeah.
And they can hang out on that corner a lot more, and then you've got the inside line for turn three. Maybe.
Could be. Yeah. But I actually have to, if there's a stats anywhere on the web to say the amount of overtakes in that corner compared to a few years ago.
It is a funny race circuit, the Hungary one, because we all know, as Michael and Ped love, that it looks like a camel on a surfboard, which is the most accurate description of a circuit ever. But it's one of those where the circuit is known for being, they often say it's difficult to overtake at. Mm. And yet it seemed, I mean, this year's race was good. The previous years we've had some good races there. Mm. And I mean, I think last year I wrote a blog for racetracks and what I would like to see, and Hungary was one of those I was unsure of. And it seems strange that they get a big turnout with the fans every year. There's a lot of people who go there. And, we seem to see some decent racing there at least, and it seems to have this kind of this weird knack of a circuit for having new winners there, because we mentioned Button winning there his first race and everything, and I think Ricciardo might have won his first race there as well.
Yeah,
a couple of years ago.
Kovalainen.
Kovalainen, yeah.
So it was when one Massa broke down.
Yeah, Massa's engine went or whatever, something broke, didn't it? And he had three laps in the lead and won the race.
That's a good point, yeah. Verstappen's first pole this weekend.
First pole, yeah. I saw an interesting stat. It was, not really a stat, but a description. And I've stolen this from someone, but I don't know who it was, so I have to apologise. So if that was you, get in touch with us. But they called it Verstappen, the Lord of the Rings, because, of course, he won the Red Bull ring earlier this season, Austria, and he won the Hockenheim ring in Germany, the previous race before Hungary, and now the Hungara ring, he got a pole position, and, I mean, let's face it, he wasn't far off winning that either.
No, I was just trying to work out if there's any more rings in the F1 calendar. I don't think there is there? But yeah, he's an unbelievable, I suppose it was technically August, wasn't it? But sort of July, start of August, sort of Verstappen's been, all year really, he's been amazing all year. You could argue he's probably been the top driver this season. Obviously, pretty difficult between him and Hamilton. But
for me, the shock has just been Honda. They've just pulled it out of the bag, and it just shows you get the right chassis with the right engine and the right driver as well in Max, and you're going to get some damn good racing. And it's great to see them get their first win for however many years it was. And it's just a shame Gasly can't do it, which, shame.
Do you kind of feel there's more to the Gasly story?
There's got to be. Is Max running? Is he getting the updates? Is he getting better stuff? Who knows? But
there was one moment that stood out towards the end of the race when Hamilton was closing in on Verstappen, and Verstappen said, "I need more power," and the engineer came on and was like, "Yeah, you've got full power," and it's like that reminds me a bit of Alonso kind of at McLaren Honda era. Yeah. That was a bit of a. That was a bit of a call. It's like, where's the power? But yeah, Red Bull are obviously doing something with their car, because even if it is down on power, they're doing a lot. And I mean, if you believe what Renault was saying about how they've got 1,000 horsepower, then maybe power isn't everything.
There was a quote, wasn't there, for something? I can't remember. It's really quite pointless because I can't remember at all who said it now. Something like, they must have a rubbish car then or something. I don't know if that was Verstappen, was it?
Yeah, so that might have been Verstappen. He said that.
I got a feeling it was. Or something. Not that much power or whatever.
But that's quite interesting. And I mean, poor old Danny Avocado, as the kid called him at the start of the season.
Yeah, I bet he's wishing he didn't jump ship so quickly, but mistakes were made.
Hey ho. But delving further into the race, obviously quite exciting. For one of the few times this season, someone actually took a punt on a two-stop strategy and took advantage of it and made it work. I mean, just pit a few more times. Just come on, let's have I can't even talk. I'm that excited. Excited. But let's have more two-stop races.
You do wonder if teams will look at that and go, because it seems to be the tendency just, the one stop. You go as far as you can on the first set of tyres before you start thinking that other teams might pit behind you. And just go to the end of the race on whatever tyres you got. But you do wonder if teams, when they look, hang on a sec, if we've got, a quarter of the race left, why not stick a set of softs on? The way, also how easy he overtook them, you do wonder if teams would then.
It did annoy me. I was listening to Coulthard, and he was like, he's never going to catch Verstappen. That means he needs a second a lap. And then he was putting out 2.5 seconds a lap. And it's like, this must have been a learning curve. You know, if they didn't expect that sort of performance. You know, it was a complete gamble, but it paid off. So, yeah, we might see a few more two-stop races, really.
And the thing was, there was that moment when Hamilton came in for a second stop, and they were on the radio, or the Sky Sports commentators on the radio to Christian Horner, and saying, have Mercedes, pulled one off there? Have they done you there? Are you gonna respond to it? And Christian Horner said, no, there's no point, because the lap after we were already in the danger zone and we were in lost position. And it's like, but maybe in hindsight, they still finished second.
Yeah.
So obviously it's still a good result. Don't take anything away from Verstappen. He still drove well.
True.
But you know, he could have won it. I think on track he still had the pace to you know, trouble Hamilton, keep Hamilton at bay, the way the traffic was as well, yeah. working with DRS and everything. And
all the cards fell into Hamilton's place, you know, the gap to allow him to do that pit stop. He had no one in front of him, so he could just breeze it, and that was the difference.
Which probably comes back, I mean, I kind of made the point towards my dad, but I think Paul de Resta made the point afterwards. That's kind of where Gasly needs to step up, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's made, I mean, obviously Bottas had an issue as well. He was where he was, but you kind of think if Bottas, if his roles reversed and Verstappen was behind Hamilton harassing, you kind of think Bottas probably would be maybe 10 seconds behind, where then Red Bull probably wouldn't make that choice. So that's part of why I hate that. Gasly's so bad at the moment. So what? Yeah. So he was like 8 tenths slower in qualifying, Gasly?
He was much further down. You think it's a long way to be behind your teammate. And you know, we're talking about pressure for, you know, there's been various times this season people said about pressure on Vettel with Leclerc essentially outperforming him. And of course, Bottas with trying to keep his seat from Ocon and everything. And, you know, Gasly's been mentioned a lot. But then Red Bull keep coming out and saying, no, there's no plan to replace him. We're going to keep him. It's fine. And it's just like, well,
yeah, I'm sure they said that to Kvyat as well a couple of years ago. Oh yeah, you're fine, don't worry about it. And then things change.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, you look at Kvyat in Germany, of course.
Exactly.
Kept on the track and got the podium. And you mentioned Bottas previously as well, and we'll talk about him. Let's go back to the start of the race, and it was quite an exciting start, I thought.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a fair lot that happened, and Verstappen straight to the inside, covering everyone else. And then, of course, Göring was around turn 3-4 out of there. Was it? Or was it into the Alcaraz?
Yeah, remember. Hamilton went around the outside of him in turn 2, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then he was in the inside for turn 3, and then kind of, well, took control of the corner, should we say? And
yeah.
Bottas was kind of left on the outside.
And then there was, of course, Leclerc got a run on him then, and just a bit of a clumsy move across to knock the wing.
The I think it's Vettel's camera, wasn't it? It looked a proper swipe across, didn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
And because Leclerc's kind of got away with, because he got away with the unsafe release in Germany, didn't he? Which everybody thought was like, well, hang on a sec. The last few years, it's always been a 5-second penalty, isn't it? I mean, there was no real investigation into that. So,
Do you think they're giving him a bit of a break after what he feels was a harsh decision in Austria?
Maybe it's like Leclerc. Don't know. He seems to have got away with a couple of the last few races.
Yeah, definitely does. And that was unfortunate for Bottas, because he was in good position. You were thinking, I mean, he out-qualified Hamilton, did a good job there, and you're thinking he could, you know, get a good result here, have a good race. And then in the end, it was just, you know, things didn't go his way, and he ended up struggling back to, I think, was it 9th or 8th position?
8th.
8th position, yeah. So the team radio was talking about 6th, which seemed quite a long shot, but it was a strange race for Bottas.
Yeah, it's, I can see what, there's just no fight. He didn't fight Hamilton more, he didn't attack more, and he could have done. There was nothing stopping him doing it. No one can figure out what's really going on with him, why he's lost that fight. You know, he came out so strong at the start of the year, and then it's just gone downhill, and he just should have fought more for position, but I don't know why he's just not. Something's holding him back. But is it that fear of hitting your teammate? You know, Hamilton doesn't really have that. He'll just attack and sort of take it, really. But
is it the fear of Hamilton?
Being finished, Bottas seems almost a very my words tonight are not coming out. Very Hakkinen kind of attitude. It's just, it doesn't seem like anything can bother him, but you do wonder if that's something that, you know, Hamilton's presence there has kind of almost put him off a bit, or is it maybe he kind of knows he's a wingman, so he's just doing that job.
It must be hard, sort of deep down, knowing you're not as quick as your teammate.
Yeah.
And I think whatever you do, you just aren't as naturally quick as your teammate.
Yeah, it's a hard pill to swallow, isn't it? Like, I'm just not as quick as him.
Yeah.
But you should it's easy to sit here and say, well, you should be and you should try. But, you know, I'm sure Hamilton, you know, when he had Alonso as a teammate, would look at the data, would look, you know, where am I going slower than this person? How can I try?
Yeah.
But is he doing that, you know? Is he trying to find the extra or, you know, just put his brave boots on, and if Hamilton's going, doing something in a corner, can he try that as well? But, yeah, but at the same time, it's Mercedes. It's a, what, 4 or 5-time champ, like, constructors in a row now?
Yeah.
And it's the pressure of, it's just the pressure of the team, you know, they expect so much.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, you're right, he has been screwed over a few times here and there. But so did Rosberg, so did Hamilton. You know, there's been politics that sort of way. So it just, I think it's just pressure.
Yeah, I think also when you kind of see Bottas qualify in front of Hamilton.
Yeah.
You always kind of think, well, Hamilton will be quicker than him in the race.
Yeah.
It's like the weekend you sort of sat there and thought, well, actually, I think Hamilton's probably got more chance of being in first position, the first couple of corners than Valtteri.
But you go back 10 years, for, you know, pole position in Hungaroring, that's a race win, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, but now, you know, all right, P3, Hamilton wins it, but anything's possible now. And you sort of think, well, you know, Bottas should have, if he got pole, you know, he could have brought that home.
I suppose, like I said, as you mentioned, it's fine accepting, it's hard to accept. You can accept your teammate's quicker than you, but at least in turn two, when he's on the outside of you, make it a little bit more difficult. Make a presence in that way. Yeah. You know, maybe not as quick over 70-odd laps, but just, try a little bit something. But
so if you were in charge of Mercedes, if you were Toto Wolff right now, and you had the decision for who to sign next season as Hamilton's teammate, who would you pick, Bottas or Ocon?
I'm not totally sure how much quicker Ocon will be, but Valtteri's, he's no youngster anymore, is he? And he's kind of been given his chance at a top team. Is he going to be world champion? Maniart would probably say no. So you got to give it to the younger driver to then be there maybe in a couple of years when Hamilton maybe decides to move on. So yeah, Ocon for me.
What about you, Stu?
I'd like to see Valtteri stay. I'd like to see him be more successful, because he earned his place at Mercedes. You know, for what he did in a Williams was fantastic. But Carl's right, he is getting on a bit. He's showing he has weakness with the pressure. Maybe do give Ocon a chance. Maybe Valtteri one more season just to see, because Ocon's not really had that much time in a car this year, but neither's Lando Norris, and look what he's done in an F1 car this year. So yeah, screw it, give Ocon a chance.
No, that'd be very interesting to see what Toto Wolff and the Mercedes bosses decide to do for next season. Okay, so if you are looking to get in touch with us, we always love hearing what you have to say, and we appreciate every message we get. But there's loads of ways that you can get in touch with us. The best place to start is patreon.com/NRF1. That is patreon.com/NRF1. You'll find posts, videos, and loads of analysis from the podcast people on there. That address again, patreon.com/NRF1. Or download the Patreon app and find us on there. There's also all the usual ways through social media. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And the handle for all of those is at TheNRF1. And we also love to get emails. That address is nrf1podcast@gmail.com. We read every single one, so please do send us an email. We'd love to hear it. And there's also our website, nrf1.uk, and all the links to the podcast are there, as well as lots of other things. And we have, you know, even more places coming soon where you can get in touch with us. So there's a lot to look forward to and a lot to get involved with. So we really hope you do. So let us move on to what's potentially our favourite bit, the NRF1 pit stops. New. Where should we go today?
little trip to Woking, shall we?
Trip to Woking. I've been there a couple of times before. Woking, it's quite an interesting little town. And I drove past the McLaren factory and I took a picture of it. I didn't go in though.
Oh, I remember your a few years ago, wasn't it? Your photo from outside there?
A couple of years.
When they were atrocious.
Yeah, when they were really bad.
Just letting anyone in those days, weren't they?
Well, they did try and sneak in and see if they'd give me a job, at, you know, when Button was retiring, but I don't think they were too keen on that.
I'm sure they saw your race at Beckles, you know, earlier in the year.
Well, I did treat myself to the F1 2019 game last week. I still haven't told the missus, though, but we'll keep that quiet.
What is a simulator driver at McLaren? Maybe give me that. Yeah, the new simulator.
So yeah, I'm sure I could do that and just be like, make the difficulty harder. Yeah, go on. Oh, it's train time. Oh, train time. Anyway, back to McLaren. They had a pretty good weekend of things overall. I think Sainz got fifth and Norris was eighth. Ninth? I've forgotten already.
We did mention that a second ago, didn't we? actually, I've got it here somewhere. Ninth. Sixth, ninth. Ninth, yeah.
So, yeah, started seventh, ended ninth.
Sixth and seventh, yeah.
Sixth and seventh. So,
yeah, Norris, yeah, so we'll get it. Yeah, Norris started sixth and finished ninth. And Sainz seventh and finished fifth. So, yeah.
So, pretty good weekend of things then.
Yeah, sort of. It's continuing, isn't it? And I think it's safely to say they're kind of by themselves as the fourth quickest car at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, and to be honest, they're quite consistently in recent races having one of their drivers ahead of one Red Bull. So
yeah, actually,
they're doing a good job.
Actually, looked a second ago, and I think Sainz has had more top six finishes than Gasly, which is slightly.
That's quite an incredible stat.
Yeah, I think I'll just double check it. Gasly has five top six finishes, and Sainz has, the last five races he's finished in the top six, and he had two early in the season, so yeah, it's quite.
I think Christian Horner was being interviewed and said, they were talking about Gasly and how disappointing he was, not so bluntly, but even with Max getting second and Gasly finishing where he did, they still scored the same amount of points as McLaren, and he was a bit, I can tell he's a bit peeved by that, really. You know,
well, yeah. That's quite funny because, you know, you look who is a former Toro Rosso, former Red Bull Junior, Carlos Sainz.
Yeah,
and he's moved to McLaren. He's doing a good job. You think, you know, I don't know if they'd have him and Verstappen as teammates after some of their troubles, I suppose, in Toro Rosso. They had a few falling outs, but I mean, surely now he must be thinking, damn, we needed to keep this guy. We should have got him in sooner and given him a chance.
Steve Jones basically said to him, oh, Carlos Sainz fifth, eh? How do you feel about that? And it was, you know, through gritted teeth, yes, he's done very well, hasn't he? Well, yeah, he has.
That seems to be Steve's kind of interview tactic. Just say a stat and be like, what do you think about that?
Just, yeah, kick him in the balls while he's down, you know. Bloody good for McLaren, just quietly getting on with it, really, and it's paying off so much.
Do you think they've benefited from not having Alonso in the team? And the fact that it seemed for a couple of years that they were just there to try and keep Alonso happy?
Yes. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Look, everyone's happy. But now it's true, everyone's happy now he's gone. You know, there's no tension, really, there's no drama. Everyone's just getting on with it, and they're doing really well. There's no pressure. Again, like, it's a pressure thing. You know, you've got this amazing multi-million contract with Alonso, and you have to please him, and you can't, and it's just frustration. And it's comments about how shit the car is and train.
It's a little one. I didn't even realise that was a train by the noise of it. It sounded completely different.
Yeah, I think, you know, the team's pretty happy that they haven't got that pressure of having Alonso there. So, because he's good.
Yeah, you kind of think if. Obviously, they have a good season, they're making progress. But you kind of think Alonso still wouldn't be happy in the team because he still want podiums and race wins. But you kind of, we're sitting there going, oh, Sainz is doing well, Norris is doing well. There's, like I said, their pressure's off and they can sort of rebuild now, not trying to.
Do you think he's regretting it? I mean, he wouldn't be happy with a fifth, but to cut from 17th, 18th consistently to 5th, I'm sure McLaren are laughing.
And you look at the jump they made this season, you know, into this season from how they were at the end of last season. And that's quite a jump because they were really struggling at the end of last season, weren't they?
Yeah, massively.
Well, it was an achievement last year to get sort of both cars into Q3, wasn't it? But now you sort of watch qualifying and then Norris or Sainz sort of chucking a time and you go, holy hell, that's quick. Like sort of Q1 and Q2 and they're like 4/10 off the front and you go, that's quite impressive. So, yeah, I think they benefited from Alonso leaving.
And an observation I've made, obviously they've got Lando Norris, the young British talent that he is. They've got him in the car and to me it seems he is fast becoming the best personality in Formula One. That's a big point to argue because obviously Daniel Ricciardo, there's a lot of fans of him and people love his kind of a persona that he has, and obviously then there's Raikkonen's fans who just love how he just doesn't care and everything. But to me, Lando Norris, it just seems all the time he's just having a laugh, he's having fun, and he, really you can see he's having the time of his life.
So has Lando taken over the cheeky chappy of the paddock from Ricciardo? So yeah, probably has, and there's a big bromance between him and Sainz, isn't there?
I think the pit lane in general just it's quite happy, you've got Ricciardo and Verstappen, they're bloody good friends on and off track. So, they're having good fun in press conferences. It's very lighthearted. So, yeah, I think it's quite a good feeling going on at the minute.
Isn't it? I think it's Lando Norris's Instagram. It appeared to be Sunday night, and he was having I'm not quite up to date with my whole online gaming. He seemed to be having
was it an esports thing?
Yeah, and Max Verstappen seemed to be racing.
Yeah.
I think he beat him, didn't he? Or something. But it was like, that seemed like Sunday evening. And I was like, basically they travelled and they straight on a...
I think the best thing for me was seeing Ricciardo hit Sainz in the balls while he was getting interviewed. That was so funny.
And of course there's the whole Norris, Ricciardo, pubes press conference conversation, which was a bit nuts.
Wasn't something like that? Going back and finding Lando Norris's tweets from 2012, something retweeting now. I didn't quite get that.
That was a little bit strange, but it's there's a lot of fun been going on with Lando. He seems a likable guy, and it's nice to have these youngsters in Formula One.
Everything that Vettel wasn't at that age, probably.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers.
So I think it's perfect time to go in to the Norfolk Notebook. Of course, we in Norfolk, in Norwich, in a little bit rainy today, Norwich. Shame it was not as sunny as it was earlier. But anyway, we love to follow Formula One and it has a big say in Formula One. And you just look at the number of drivers who have come from Nelson's County. And the latest two on the grid who we have, George Russell, who's from just up the road, and Alex Albon, okay, he races under a tyre licence, but he's as British as everyone else. And he's also got links in Norwich as well. And let's be fair to both of them, they had pretty good weekends, I think, especially George.
Yeah, pretty solid. Where did he finish in the end again?
16th,
well, I think Williams would have taken that at any time, really, won't they? So, solid race. Obviously, always out qualifying Kubica. But, again, just showing consistent racing, and especially for that track, a good place for him.
And he just missed out on Q2. He out qualified a Renault, a Sauber, and a Racing Point?
Two Racing Points, and Danny Ric.
Two Racing Points.
And obviously his teammate by 1.3 seconds.
So he was close to... Just dropping the mic. He was close to going through there to Q2, which would have been something. He just seemed to be on it in qualifying. It was a joy to see Williams not on the back row of the grid. And it had some race pace. It was managing... In the race, George finished ahead of Lance Stroll and Antonio Giovinazzi. And it's... Both of those cars have had good points finishes recently.
Well, Lance Stroll in... Where did he finish in Hockenheim?
Fourth.
So, it's just good to see him. Good to see them actually in the race, not in a race by themselves, where the only point you see them is when they get lapped for the second or third time. So I think there's some updates on the car, so hopefully that's a big step forward to them.
And
for them,
that's going to do wonders for George, because I mean obviously there's all this talk about Bottas or Ocon, who's going to Mercedes. I mean, if he keeps performing or outperforming the car, you know, pretty much,
yeah,
it could be a shout for him at Mercedes. Who knows?
You never know. You kind of hope for his sake that it's probably a good chance he'll be at Williams again next year, because I mean, he's got, after his PowerPoint presentation or whatever he's done to Frank Williams, he's got a few year deal. But so yeah, you kind of, for his sake and in the progression of his career, he doesn't want another career at the back. If he can be fighting for points, then that's a good step for him.
Yeah, and I think he can really do something with Williams. And the other guy, obviously Alex Albon, I think he just snuck into the points. I saw the team radio, best of team radio video that Formula One puts on YouTube today. They had an onboard with Perez with his team radio being angry and swearing because Albon threw quite a late one up the inside and took his position. And it's like, come on, Sergio, you're supposed to be a hard racer. What was all that about? But good move from Albon, I thought.
Yeah, I thought it was a fair move. Yeah, I didn't really understand what Perez was moaning about. He did try to close the door quite late. Yeah, Albon had a good race. And also with Kvyat.
Yeah.
A hell of a battle, wasn't it?
That was some harsh racing from Kvyat, but why not? Again, like turn four, that's another one of those corners where they weren't overtaken a couple of years ago, and now everyone's going for it, and it's, you know, that was great.
Those guys were side by side for what's, you know, seemed half a lap. You know, good four corners or so, I think.
And fair as well, you know, they could have easily taken themselves out. It's not a wide track, so they both did well to hold it, really. So
you look at some of the previous Toro Rosso teammates who they've had, who are, you know, Gasly and Hartley didn't really get on. I think they had a few moments where they were looking like they were going to crash, and of course not long before that you had Kvyat and it was Carlos Sainz. They made contact a couple of times. Remember Silverstone, we were there that year, and I think it was Azerbaijan that same year, they had a bit of a ding-dong battle there. So I mean, they've got, seem to have some good teammates this year, and they seem to be doing well.
Yeah, I think that's it, both done. Kvyat's come back well. Albon's making good progress. I don't think they're quite ready for Red Bull yet, but another year, and I think that'll be an interesting decision.
So was that a double points finish for Toro Rosso?
Kvyat finished 15th. I don't really know how he ended up there.
How the hell did that happen?
So, did he make an extra pit stop or something?
I don't know, he's two laps behind. With all the fun and games at the front, he ended up behind Danny Ric. So, an old K-Mag. So yeah, no idea how he ended up there. But
fair play, Albon didn't end up there, and he did the job for Norfolk. So we'll claim that as a victory.
1 point for us.
So let's move on to the last point from this weekend. It's gone on a bit, I suppose, but it's okay. Let's go to our of the weekends. So let's go straight in to our Rodolfo Gonzalez driver of the weekend. Who do you want to nominate?
Sainz.
Yeah.
I mean, in reality, you could argue that Hamilton and Verstappen have a joint one. Verstappen's first pole. A hell of a race between the two. But I don't like joint ones, so I'll give it to Sainz.
I hate to agree with you, but fifth in a McLaren. You wouldn't be saying that a couple of years ago. So, yeah, I'd go Sainz. Solid.
I can't help but agree with that as well. He had a good race. Next up is our Team Lotus Team of the Weekend. Who had a good weekend? Who really stood out? I mean, obviously we've spoken about Bottas and Gasly and the respective Mercedes and Red Bull, who kind of had their moments where they struggled. So Ferrari were the only kind of top team who had two drivers finish, but then third and fourth and well off the pace isn't what you'd expect from them, so you can't really give it to them.
A minute behind. Vettel was a minute behind Hamilton, which is, it's crazy.
That's a different race.
Scary. Yeah, exactly, yeah. You're not too far away from getting lapped. So there's team of the weekend. It's kind of going back to McLaren in a way, isn't it? But
is that the only double points?
Yeah, because Alfa Romeo, Kimi 7th, Giovinazzi 18th.
like Toro Rosso 10th and 15th, Renault poor, Haas poor.
I could get the Williams for making progress. Seems pretty slagged them off enough, so why not? Yeah, I'll go for Williams.
Williams,
yeah, credit where credit's due, you know.
It's a big Williams love in here today. And next up is actually the award named after former Williams driver, Pastor Maldonado of the weekend. There's potentially a few to choose from, I suppose.
I don't want to give it to Gasly because I feel like I'm, yeah, being incredibly harsh on him.
Sorry, if you want to give it to Gasly, you give it to Gasly. I mean, we know what Ped is like, giving it to Grosjean every single time. When he,
that's true,
when
yeah.
He, even if Grosjean won a race, Ped would probably make him the Maldonado. But sorry, Ped, I don't mean to slag you off.
That's a difficult one, really.
Kind of feel Hülkenberg.
Hülkenberg, yeah.
He didn't do a lot wrong.
I can't honestly say I heard his name the entire race weekend. Yeah.
I was kind of... The thing is, they're kind of following on from what happened in Germany. I kind of wonder where Hülkenberg's career is going.
Yeah.
I really like Hülkenberg, but I just... There's, you know, he can't get a podium. Whenever he gets a chance, he ends up binning it in a wall. I just don't know. Yeah, I think it's just a collection of... Or run of events. I want to go for Hülkenberg.
Yeah, so there was no standout performer, would you? What do you reckon, Stu?
If you're going to get overtaken by Albon and complain about it,
yeah.
Sergio Perez is, you know, idiot.
I think the guy I would choose is, unfortunately, the walking weapon, Lance Stroll. I mean, he had a good race in Germany, and I thought he did well. And I mean, this weekend, in practice, he just didn't seem to be on it. I think I was watching first practice, and he went through the chicane at the top as like the kind of neck of the camel, let's say.
Yeah, coming.
So is that like the back of the circuit?
Yeah, as you look at the circuit, it's like at the very top there.
The sword. And lots of left rights.
Yeah. That bit. And it's like as we went through the chicane, he came out of there and he just seemed to have a spin one lap, did a full 360 and carried on going. And then he came around a couple of laps later and did exactly the same thing. And it's like, mate, what's going on? And then during the race there was bits where the team would tell him stuff, it's like, oh, I don't need to know that. He was getting all grumpy. And it's like, don't get grumpy because you're not doing any good. You're the driver. Come on, man. Just pull your finger out. He wasn't like this at Williams. Well, last year he was. But when he first came in, he wasn't. And I felt a bit sorry for him when he first came in. Now I just think he's a dick.
He is a dick. What's wrong with the car, Lance? I don't know. That's great. And then the whole radio button. Like, oh, it's not working. That's not Lance. That's the radio button. It's just, there's so many drivers who deserve a seat. But if your daddy's paying for it, you know, then you're going to get a seat, aren't you? So,
well,
such an idiot.
They're a team with the Mercedes engine. Maybe Mercedes will pull a few strings and stick him in there next season if they look like they've got a good car.
That's a hell of a rumour, Rich. You know, what are you saying? You saying Lance Stroll and Hamilton's teammate?
Well, I don't want to say that I'm a Racing Point insider because, well, quite plainly I'm not. But
you've been hanging around Silverstone, you know.
That's a vicious rumour, Rich. That's a vicious rumour.
Silverstone's not just down the road from Brackley, so it wouldn't be much of a move. So,
yeah,
Rich's rumour.
There you go. That'd be worth a prediction for next year, maybe, wouldn't it? So, yeah. Anyway, that was a bit of a long, drawn-out Maldonado the weekend. Next up, our Giuliano Salvi moment of the weekend.
I think it'll probably be the Hamilton Verstappen battle before he made his second pit stop. So when he was around the outside of turn four, lead up to there, that was just, yeah, proper gladiators of the sport with each other. So yeah.
What about you, Stu?
Yeah, the Toro Rosso fight was pretty good, really. Just good solid wheel to a racing. Yeah, really good. Kept it clean, like I said. So yeah, it's a good moment.
Yeah, definitely. And I think for me, the real moment was the fact that, okay, Hamilton won. He's won a lot of races this season, but it wasn't on pole position. He had to fight for it. It wasn't just a boring, he's got pole position, he's gone off to win. It was an actual race that we had on our hands and another good one. And it's just brilliant. Formula One right now is just brilliant. I love it.
It is good.
Okay, so let's rate the race. What would you say? What would you rate the race out of 11, remember? I think Germany didn't get a... kind of out of 11 result, because I think Callum was confusing us all by trying to decide if it was the best race of all time or not, which was really difficult to decide. But keeping it simple, out of 11, what would you give Hungary?
9? Is that fair?
9, I think 9's fair. I thought it was a good race.
Yeah.
I'd agree with 9, what would you?
8. Solid 8.
So that works out as, like, what, 8.5?
8.5.
Well,
what's yours?
I'm going to say 8.5, so it's 8.5. Job done. Right.
Boom.
Okay, so, of course, we've got the long summer break. 4 weeks. And it's going to be a nightmare. It's going to be torture. 4 weeks without Formula One. What are we going to do? But anyway, when we come back, it's the best type of spa you could possibly go to. If you want to get tickets, get tickets. Go to your girlfriend, your wife, whoever. Book you a spa break. Off to Belgium you go, watch the Grand Prix. I'm sure they'd love it. If they don't want to go, take me. I definitely want to.
Is that from experience, that line? Or?
I mean, I've never been to spa, but I want to go.
Are you going to try that line if you go?
Yeah, I missed a trick. It was the missus' birthday the other day, and I purchased a holiday for her, or for us, I should say. I should have purchased spa. Maybe that would have been a better option.
It would not have gone down well, Rich. Not when I sit next to your missus.
No, she would have. You'd have heard everything. She'd been like, "Thanks," and you'd have heard all the like.
Nothing anger. But praise is all I hear, Rich. Nothing but praise.
I'm sure. But yeah, my favourite circuit: Spa, Francorchamps, Belgium. Yeah. So, you looking forward to it? What? Yeah, I can't wait. You guys looking forward to it?
Yeah, it's like you kind of think of the races we've had the last 4 weeks, or last 4 races. Spa should be another good one. Maybe a bit of rain somewhere.
Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be better than the German Grand Prix. I call it now.
You kind of think Ferrari should be quick there. Straight line speed. So hopefully they'll be in the battle. Red Bull seem to be, well, Max Verstappen's Red Bull seem to be pretty quick.
Am I right in saying it favours low downforce cars? Is that what they've had in the past? Looking back to the Force Indias from 2008, 2009?
All the Fisichella 2009. Did they get pole? And then finished second, didn't he?
Yeah, I think Raikkonen got him during the race.
And then he got the Ferrari drive after that, didn't he? May have had enough of Nico Badoa.
I thought he had the...
Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah.
So that was 2009?
Yeah, the old Kurs.
Yeah, because... Massa got hit by the spring, was out.
They
called Luca Badoa in. Then they called Fisichella in on the back of a great performance.
Yeah, because obviously Hungary wasn't it? Massa, wasn't it? And then the next race would have been Spa, and Luca Badoa finishing way behind. And
didn't Barrichello get hit by something at the Hungaroring as well?
Oof, I don't know.
I swear
that was off his car, wasn't it? That hit Massa.
Oh, of course it was.
But that's one of my favourite stats though. I'm sure you guys have seen the TV show Pointless. If anyone from Pointless is listening, give us a shout. We'd love to have you on.
Who's the host of that again?
Alexander Armstrong.
Big fan, I reckon.
And the guy, I've forgotten his name, but he was on Taskmaster as well. He's hilarious.
Richard Osman.
Richard Osman, that's the guy. He's brilliant. Really tall guy.
Yeah.
And they had a thing about Ferrari drivers, and I was watching at home with my mum. It was a couple of years ago now, and they wanted 3 Ferrari drivers, and I got 3 pointless answers, because I said Mika Salo after he filled in for Michael Schumacher when he was out injured.
Great answer.
And I said Badoa and Fisichella, and 3 pointless answers, and I just wish I'd been on the show, because those idiots didn't even go for it. So
just dropped the mic and walked off after that.
Yeah. Smashed the trophy on the ground. But it could be quite an interesting race for Ferrari that weekend. And I mean, they need to have something there.
Just a little warm up for Monza as well. They'll need a decent race.
So, definitely. That's going to be the big one. If they don't perform in Monza, I think there's going to be some angry people.
Yeah, the old Tifosi.
Yeah.
Will not be too pleased. But I don't think they'll start chucking stuff on the track, I guess.
They'll storm the track, as they always do. So.
It's harsh, because you can't really say the drivers have done too much wrong.
No.
You know, pit stops have been poor. Strategy's been very poor. And, solid drivers. Just other areas which have let them down.
Also didn't help. Expectations were so high.
Well, yeah.
After testing, it was like, who's going to catch Ferrari? And then a couple of races in, you're like, hang on a sec.
Oh, wait, Red Bull's quicker.
Which, yeah,
And yeah, it does seem like as soon as Ferrari seemed to start making a recovery, like in Bahrain, like what they looked like they had in Germany, and there was somewhere else, I've forgotten where else, they were looking like they had some pace, but their cars just decided, no, we're not going to work, or, you know, you had a couple of driver errors in there as well. Just things just went wrong.
We had two failures in Hockenheim, the qualifying, didn't you?
Yeah, of course, both cars.
And then Q3 for Leclerc, so... Yeah, maybe they're pushing the boundaries, trying to catch up, and it's not quite working. But yeah,
best race of the season.
Yeah, I'd agree with
that. In Canada, definitely. Controversial, but
yeah. And it's always these old school races, you know, the last few we've had in Spa and of course Monza, they are the ones that it seems everyone loves. And I mean, it's going to be something. We've got to do an NRF1 Grand Prix tour. Grand Tour, I'm sure there's a pun you can make there, but we've got to do something next year, go to one of these races, because Spa, I mean, it's probably quite easy to get to being in Belgium. That'd be mega to go to.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's Stoffel Van Dorn this year, though, the local hero.
Yeah.
So there'll be more Max Verstappen fans this year.
Again, another guy just forgotten about him completely, like Hülkenberg.
Okay, so talking about Belgium, I think it's about time we got our predictions in. What do you say?
It's sort of, we're talking about Max's King of the Ring or whatever. King of the Rings earlier. Kimi Räikkönen seems to have a good record there, so Kimi top six.
Oh, good shout. I like that.
Why not?
Of course, we are only making one, because the rest of the predictions can be heard in the Patreon podcast, which is going to follow. And of course, like we said earlier on, patreon.com/NRF1. Get on there, sign up, have a listen. Be great, we'd love it. Stu.
Let's give him a chance. Let's go for a Bottas win. Why not?
We're getting all the shouts out here. And I've actually written mine down earlier today, because I knew I'd forget. And the first one I was going to say is wet or intermediate tyres will be used during the race. So I think I've pretty much said that several races this year, but... Hey ho, let's hope it comes right. Or comes true. Is right, yeah. Anyway, that seemed to work. Anyway, I think that is everything for today. Like I said, if you want to listen to the Patreon podcast, get onto Patreon, sign up, support us. We'd absolutely love it. We really appreciate you all for all your help. And we really appreciate you listening. So I think we will end things there and get onto Patreon. So it's goodbye from me. Thank you very much for listening.
Cheerio.
See you later.
Brilliant, and thank you all once again for listening, and we'll be with you again soon. Bye.